Let's keep him in prayer. Keep him in prayer today. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. Genesis 3 and verse number 20. Genesis 3:20. The scripture says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." Yeah. Father, bless this book now. In your name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Eve's Hebrew word, it means day spring or life spring. And of course he does this because from Eve will come all of mankind. And she therefore becomes the mother of all mankind. They will come forth from her. Genesis chapter number 5 and verse number 2, the Bible said, "Male and female created he them and blessed them. And he called their name Adam." Now, Adam is a generic word. So what do you mean by that? It simply means mankind. It means humankind, as set in distinction from animals and so forth. It is akin to Adama. The word in Hebrew is Adam. And Adama is the Hebrew word, it's akin to it, from the same source. And it means of the earth, of the red clay, that man's body was made from that. And it's the progression in the book of Genesis, how God takes clay, he takes dirt, and from dirt, you're here now. From dirt, all that man's ever achieved came from a pile of dirt. And if God had not breathed into that pile of dirt's nostrils the breath of life, that's all it would have been. It would have remained dirt. God's the giving one. He's the life giver. And without him, there is no life. Life cannot exist of its own. It does not arise spontaneously. That's garbage. God is the author of life. It comes from him. He's the source of it. And we're talking about mothers this morning because it's Mother's Day. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 21, we read about this Egyptian. The Egyptian is quite a thing here. I believe we can learn a great deal by just simply looking at Hagar. The Bible said in Genesis 21 and verse 14, "And Abram rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away, and she departed, and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child to one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, 'Let me not see the death of the child.' And she set over against him and lift up her voice and wept." The child's name is Ishmael. He's the son of Abraham. He's 14 years older than Isaac, who has not been conceived yet. Abraham loved his son Ishmael, loved him with a great love. His name means God hears. As far as Abraham was concerned, he was the answer to prayer. Ishmael was the one that God had given them. Though he came in a little different way, Hagar sat on the knees of Sarah, and that was the custom of the day, and she was pregnant by Abraham, and when she bore that child, she was literally sitting on the knees of Sarah. And the boy came forth, and Abram loved her, loved him. His mother was an Egyptian, Hagar. She did not choose to be placed in this position. She was simply a servant, a slave, if you please. But Almighty God had something to do in this in a way that they could have never seen, because he's able to do things and he doesn't necessarily spell them out for you while he's doing them. If you notice here, we have a problem now between Hagar and Sarah. Even though Sarah was the one who started this, initiated this relationship, where she would bear a child by her husband. If you'll go to the book of Genesis chapter number 16 with me, you'll find a great thing revealed for you here about the motherhood of Hagar. Now notice, she's an Egyptian. We're not talking about an Israelite or a Hebrew. We're talking about Mitzrayim, the ancient word for Egypt, the son of daughter of Ham, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the three there, sons of Noah. In Genesis chapter number 16, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing, I pray thee. Go unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. What's going on? Well, here's what's happening. Hagar didn't know if Abraham was sterile. She didn't know. She didn't know why they didn't have any children. And so now she becomes pregnant by Abraham, and that causes her to look at Sarah and say, the problem's with you, Sarah, and not with me. And so the Bible says Sarah was despised. In other words, Hagar had nothing but contempt in her eyes for Sarah. Just imagine this kind of thing going on 4,000 years ago. Nothing's really changed among people, has it? No, not really. And here's what Sarah says. She says, My wrong be upon thee. I've given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw she'd conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. So it just gets more complicated as this relationship goes on. Abram said to Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Now let's move along quickly on down to verse number 13. And we'll find Hagar out in the wilderness. We'll find her of it's not of her doing. She's been used, and it's created a real problem in her home where she was living. And now she's got now she's out in the field, and she's been driven from her home and from her people. And I want you to notice what goes on here in verse number 13. And she called on the name of the Lord. She called the name, what's that Lord in your Bible? That's capital L-O-R-D, right? Now that's printer's type. It means in Hebrew, it's Jehovah. Okay, Jehovah. And the Bible says, And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. Now look at this. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? I'm living before the Lord, she said. You're watching me, God. You're watching every move that I make. I didn't start this, but you know what's happening in my life. Now look at verse number 14. Wherefore the well was called Beer Laharoi, and that in Hebrew means the well of the living one seeing me. Boy, think about that for a minute. Here's an Egyptian giving out some heavy-duty theology in the Old Testament. The well of the living one? Well, there's only one living one. He said in Revelation 1, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, John, I'm alive forevermore. Look at this. This makes you ought to do some thinking about what you're reading here. This woman knew a lot. She said, This is the well of the living one who sees what's happened to me. He sees who I am, and he sees my future. He knows where I'm going. So have you ever been used? Have you ever been used? I've been used, abused, and then dropped. How many of you been in that boat? Oh, yeah, you've been there. You've been there. Oh, yeah. Some people are masters at using other people. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Manipulators, they call them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're good at it. They want to make you think they care for you. You know, they're interested in your life, but they just want something from you. That's all. And when they're done with you, they're done with you. And here we have Hagar. So what does that do for me when I read something like this about Hagar? Well, it gives me more respect for her. She wasn't turning against God. She says, Lord, you see me? You see me? I mean, I didn't ask for this, but here I am. And here's what God said to Hagar. He said, I'm going to take care of you. And he said, you're going to have a boy, and that boy you're going to have, I'm going to make a nation of him because he's the seed of Abram. But he's not the chosen seed. You see, the chosen seed is found in Galatians 4. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. If that's all you read, you'd think, well, Hagar is finished and done for. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, no. The God that I serve this morning. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, he has more grace for you than you even know what the word means. He'll meet you. He'll go with you. He'll find you. He'll help you. He'll reach out a hand to you that you didn't even know existed. Amen. 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 Oh, he wasn't about to let Hagar drop off in the wilderness and die and Ishmael die. Not going to happen. Oh, no, not going to happen. He took care of her. But you see, she wasn't the promised seed. Same as it is today. He said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you remember him saying that? Oh, yeah. Do you remember him telling the disciples one time, though, he said, I have other sheep that are not of this flock? Right. Yeah. Do you remember him telling them that too? Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. So Hagar, I've got respect for Hagar, because she did all she could do with the circumstances she was rammed into. How many's ever heard of Hannah? The Bible said in 1 Samuel 2, verse 18, Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat. And every time she looked at that coat, she thought about her son. She kept it at home, hung it up in a prominent place. You see, Hannah got this boy by prayer. She'd been made fun of. Penina had mocked her, made fun of her. And here's what he said to her husband. He said, have not I been better to you than 10 sons? Yes, yes, you have. No doubt he has. But you see, he was not the son that came out of her womb. She didn't carry him for 9 months and feel him kick. She couldn't touch her belly and feel the life that was moving around inside her. You see, only a mother can understand what I'm talking about this morning. A connection that a man knows nothing about. A connection with a child. And this is a connection that mothers have. This is why we have Mother's Day. Mother's Day and Father's Day aren't the same thing, because mothers and fathers aren't the same thing. A father can do the best he can to be a mother, but he can never be a mother. And a mother can do the best she can to be a father, but she can never be a father. Why? God made a mother to be a mother and a father to be a father. If Satan wants to destroy a country, he'll destroy the home. You destroy the home, how do you do that? You destroy the identity of what makes a home. A man and a woman. That's a marriage, and God joins the two of them together, and they have children. Amen. Don't let anybody mess your mind up today. That's the way God made it. But you see, Hannah was being made fun of. They mocked her. Oh, boy, this mockery's always. Haven't you ever lived in a family where there's a lot of mockery going on? Let me tell you how you can find out a lot about mockery. Weddings and funerals. Oh, believe me. I've been to some funerals where the strife was so thick you could cut it with a knife. And I have been. I've been to funerals. I've done funerals where one bunch wouldn't even look at the other bunch. And they wouldn't even get together. They'd stay separate inside a room somewhere. And I thought to myself, good night, man. What in the world? How's it not going to be a whole lot of Holy Ghost moving and not a lot of shouting around here today? Amen. Right. It's sad, but you see that stress. That's a time when the family becomes a family. I was robbed of that. The other day I did a funeral down there west. My mother's buried down there. And you've never heard me say this before, because I've never done it before. But I stood by the grave of my mother and I looked down, saw her name. And I finally did what I should have done a long time ago. What'd you do, preacher? I said, I forgive you. Yeah. You know, it's changed since then. A lot of you don't know what I'm talking about, but some of you do. I walked out the door with my brother when I was 4 years old. Put a blanket over him. It was pouring the rain. He was hungry and crying. And we left her lying drunk. And we went out into the street. And I remember the people say, what you boys doing out here? What are you doing out here? Where are you going? Two little kids. And we went over a hill and down another hill and through a valley and around a road and this and that and covered. And finally came to the door of my grandfather. My grandfather came to the door. He looked down. There stood his two grandsons. And he let us in. And from that day on, that was our home. Thank God for my grandfather. If you go into my office, you'll find a picture of William Riley Weaver. Amen. You'll find a picture of William Riley Weaver. That's what homes are about, you see. How many of you in this house today have got a mother and a father? You got something to be thankful for. You do. You can't buy that.
You can't make it happen. And some of you born into homes and you had no choice, no matter, and your mom and your dad weren't together. Now, I know preaching like this in 2023, if I was preaching this message in 1950, it wouldn't be a big deal. But today, Lord God Almighty, help us. I don't know how many times you've been married. I don't know how many families you've been through. But won't you make the one you're in now work? How many agree? Make it work. Make it work. I mean, surely, how many times you got to get burned before you realize you're making a mistake? Make it work. Well, make it work. Marriages are made. Somebody said, well, you know, I dated this person. They were so sweet and they were this and they were that. But boy, when I married them, I found out who was a different person entirely. Make it work. That little one sitting on the pew back there in the back, I met her in 1966. Just a few days later, we got married and everybody said, it ain't going to last. It won't last 6 months. That was 56 years ago. Forget what this bunch says to you. Forget that garbage. Forget it. Every one of you are different. Every one of you, your home is different. Every one of you, you have a different life. And you're married. There's no two marriages exactly the same. Doesn't exist. So make it work. Make it work for the children. Make it work. Make it work. And then you'll get something that money can't buy. It'll be a precious thing indeed. Yes, it will. Hannah. Every time she looked at that coat, she thought about her son. Do you remember the story about Hannah and the priest? You remember his name?
Eli.
He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Remember him? Do you remember that she came to the tabernacle and she was praying? She was praying. Hannah was praying. Her lips were moving, but she didn't make any noise. He looked over at her and he said, man, what are you drunk? What are you coming into the house of God drunk for? She said, this handmaid's not drunk. No, I'm crying out to God for my spirit and for my soul. You see, here's the problem with Eli. He had all the religious garb on, but he didn't know anything about spiritual power. He didn't know what prayer was. Prayer's not a bunch of words, folks. It's your car. It's your heart communing with God. And she poured her soul out. You see, he didn't even know what she was saying. Samuel showed up because of that prayer. And folks, of all the people that lived in that Bible, from Genesis through Revelation, now I'm not talking about the Lord Jesus, he's unique and one of a kind. But when it comes to all the rest of the men, none rise any higher than Samuel. None any higher. And he was an answer to prayer. And the priest didn't even know what prayer was. Amen. How sad. Are you a mother like that? Did you ask God to give you a child? Some people have the idea. Did you know that there are some people out there that think that a woman needs a child, that she needs a son or a daughter to kind of give her to root her and ground her and give her her identity before the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine somebody believing something like that? Are you listening to me? That's a good thing. That's what mothers are for. That's right. That's what mothers are for. They're to bring children into this world and give that child something that nobody else can give it. These kids get on the internet. Surf, surf, surf. They get on social media. Surf, surf, surf. They get on this talk thing, this thing, this thing. And I'm, you know, most people my age don't have a clue all the social media, and I don't know all the junk that's out there. I don't worry with any of it. But here's the bottom line. Their life is spent on that thing, and they meet friends on there. And they meet, it becomes their family. They don't realize, especially the younger ones, the predators that are on there. They want to meet with these young girls, or the boys too. Oh, yeah. The thieves that are on there. The perverts that are on there. The manipulators that are on there. So why does a kid do that? This is one of the curses upon our country and upon the world. And that curse is the technology that has just gone wild. And there's nobody around to rein it in. Man, we didn't have that. We used to go to what's called sock hops. Yeah. Who's ever heard of a sock hop? You old people, raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? A sock hop, what's that? It's a little dance they get out there. Yeah. You know, that's a sock hop. And what'd you do at a sock hop? We saw the girls. And the girls saw the boys. We had interaction with each other. Not a screen, but a real human being. Something else we had to learn how to do back then. And this will blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. We had to learn to do this. We had to learn how to talk to a girl. And talk to and the girls learned to talk to the boys. And man, it was quite a thing. I mean, how many of you boys ever had a crush on a girl? Raise your hand, everybody. All of you raise your hand, unless there's something wrong with you. Sure you did. That's just the way it ought to be. Sure it is. That's part of growing up. That's part of forming your character. That's part of being who you are. You learned how to interact with a human being. That's what you did. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Kids, turn that stinking thing off and do something to begin to interact with a real human being. Amen. Amen, amen. You ever heard of Moses' mother, Jochebed, Amram and Jochebed? Yes, sir. Do you know what she did? She lied to Caesar. What do you mean? He wanted all the males put to death. She hid her son, until he was 3 months old when he was so big she couldn't hide him anymore. Then she had to do something to protect him and take care of him. All right? She did what she had to do. She put him in that river where a Nile crocodile could have eaten that little boy. Put him in an ark of bulrushes and put him into the safe hand of the Lord. You know what happened? God used an Egyptian to save the little boy, hand him back to his mother, and his mother raised him. Now only the Lord does stuff like that. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. Here's what that means. That means that your children do not belong to the state.
Amen.
They belong to God. And then he lends them to you. They don't belong to the state. Somebody out there in the state said it takes a village. You can have your village. You give me a mother and a father that love the Lord. Let them raise their children. Don't want your village. No. Look at them. They were raised by a village. Good night. Are you kidding me? Some of these people are the most vile people walking the face of this earth. And they want your kids to be raised just like they were. No. Rizpah, the daughter of Ahiah, took sackcloth and spread it upon a rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day nor the beast of the field by night. A concubine, if she hadn't done what she did, you'd have never known she ever lived. Look, it's in the Bible because it moved David to do something about this. Concubine, she loved her child. What was it? It was mother's love. And I want to read something about mother's love for you here. If you'll turn over here with me and see if I can find this. And mother's love. Let's see. It's over there where, you remember those prostitutes? You remember the two prostitutes? For some reason, I've lost the text. I don't know what happened to it. How many of you know the story of the two prostitutes? One of them rolled over that night and killed her child. What? Yeah, they came before Solomon. All right, you know the story? They came before Solomon, and they both claimed possession of that child. All right? Solomon had wisdom from God. Such a shame he didn't keep it. But he had wisdom. God gave Solomon wisdom. Real wisdom. You know what he did? He said, you take that boy, you cut him in half, and you give one half to this prostitute and the other half to that prostitute, and you'll both have part, and it'll be fine. The prostitute that was not the mother, you all read that, that was not the mother said, that's good. Cut him in two, we'll share him like that. Because her son was dead. The real mother said, oh, no. Her heart went out to her son. Oh, no. If I can't have him, I don't want him dead. Let her have him. And Solomon said, that's the mother. That's mother's love. She's a prostitute. She doesn't know who the daddy is. Has no idea. Do you think she knew who her daddy, the daddy of that child was? No, she didn't know. No. Did she have anybody supporting her? No, there was no family support. None whatsoever. None. But she loved that boy. What do you mean? A prostitute can love her son more than a lot of church people running in and singing, oh, how I love Jesus.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Let me believe that. Here's what happens to church people. They get too religious. It's religiosity. All the talk, all the religious cliches and all that stuff. And when your heart's not really in what you're doing in here. A prostitute, you say, preacher, can love her. You better believe they can. This prostitute would have died for her son. Yes, she would have. Why? Because it's a mother's love. How many's ever known a mother's love? That's the most precious thing you'll ever have on this earth outside of the love of Christ is a mother's love. You know what mother will do? She'll go with you where nobody else will go with you. She'd die for you. She loves you. She loves you with a unconditional love. Are you messing up? Are you in your teenage years now? Are you beginning to rebel? That's not unusual for teenagers. They get up to a certain point, they rebel. They start turning against their parents. They think they've learned and they know so much. That happens. We all go through that. It didn't take me 13 years to know everything there was to know. That's right. At 13 years old, I knew it all. How many of you went through that stage? We all did. So, mother, have you got some passion and patience with your child? Do you show them unconditional love? You stick with them? Do you? You need a man there with you. You need a man. It's not good for a boy to only have a mother, especially if all he does is hold on to mama's coat strings. That's not good for the boy. The boy needs a man. He needs a man bad. He needs a man in his life. Sometimes it can't be a father for various reasons, but some man could be brought in. Some man needs to be brought in to the life of that boy. That boy needs a man. He doesn't need a feminine man. He needs a man. He needs a man that is eaten up with toxic masculinity. Eaten up with it. That's what he needs. Eat up with it. Toxic masculinity. A man for toxic masculinity. Oh, boy. He needs a man. Well, you know what? God gave me a family when he saved me. He did. He gave me a family. He gave me a grandfather to raise me. Then he gave me a family. The family of God. God the Father's been every kind of a father to me that any father could possibly be. Yes, he has. He's been my father in the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know the Bible said Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all? There's quite a thought in that. And for the sake of the message this morning, I can't get into it, but I've been doing some study on it this week. Some things have been opening up for me. Jerusalem is the mother of us all. I wonder why he calls it the mother. Think about that. Why is it necessary for the Holy Spirit to call Jerusalem the mother of us all? Think about that for a moment. Well, there's one thing about it. The Bible says that Hagar represents the covenant at Mount Sinai, and that covenant is bondage, okay? And the Jerusalem which is now in Jerusalem is in bondage. But the Jerusalem which is above is a covenant, a blood covenant, and that blood covenant is freedom. Amen. So I've been born into freedom. Don't try to ram me into your theology. I'm still learning. I am. God showed me something just the last couple of days that blew my mind. I said, Lord, I've got an open mind in your Bible. Teach me. I'm a Bible believer. How many of you would say that to God? Even if it cost you some of the fundamental fellowships, if some of the preacher brethren turned on you, and you know how they are, they're very clannish, believe me. I tell you, no telling what they say about it. I don't care what they say. I want to know. And he showed me that with this Egyptian. I think to myself, now think about that. Think it through. Here's an Egyptian that followed everything she had, and God blessed her. Yet she was not part of the promise. Think about that. And she had an understanding of theology when she said, the well of the living one who sees. Not a living one, the living one who sees. Yes. Amen. Do you want to know the Lord? Are you living in, are you like this? Well, you know, maybe there's a God, maybe not. I'll tell you what, I'll challenge you. I'll challenge you today. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Get alone. Nobody around. Look up into that creation and say, if you're up there, make yourself known. Are you willing to do that? Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. Do you want to? Do you want it? It's easy to be a critique, to criticize, run people down. It's another matter altogether to say, well, I'll just find out for myself. If you're up there, let me know. He will. He will. He will. I'm not some brainwashed religious fanatic standing up here before you this morning. I know somebody. And he completely changed my mind and my life. And he's with me now. Father, bless your word. Bless your word. I pray that for our dear mothers. God, bless our mothers, Lord. Father, we pray for Brother Enzer again. Father, bless him, help him, Lord. Pray for him. I don't know what he needs, but you know. Find what he needs, Lord, and give these doctors the skill they need to treat it. But our Father, let him find what's wrong and bless him. Now we pray in Jesus' name. I'm not going to say amen. I'm just going to leave it open. Anybody in here this morning like to say, you know, preacher, tell you what, I'm going to take you up on it.